Psalm 98, and let's read, follow along as I read Psalm 98, the title for this one, a psalm. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the land. Make a loud noise, and rejoice, and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. So that is Psalm 98. And we do have the notes to follow along in. And notice first under the word study part, we're in that section of the royal psalms, 93 to 99, okay? And this royal psalm, one of them bears a title, and it's a very simple title, a psalm, okay? So the title of the psalm is a song, okay? So it's a song. And this particular kingship psalm highlights the military victories of God. This psalm, 98, is very similar to 96, and its opening with its opening and closing verses, and also the thoughts. So this psalm is very similar to Psalm 96. But there are some differences between the two. In 96, the ground for praise is some great deliverance that God gave to Israel, okay? And his people are called upon to show his salvation. But here in Psalm 98, it's some great victory that he has gotten. Evidently, in connection with Israel, and which all the ends of the earth clearly see this victory. Okay, his character is emphasized in this psalm as opposed to the idols who are nothing in Psalm 96. Here in 98, he is shown to be the king, and he is praised as such. There in 96, we saw the fields, the woods, the trees are called upon to rejoice at his coming. Here in 98, the floods and the hills are called upon to rejoice at his coming. While 96 and 98 are similar, we'll see next week, that 97 and 99 are also similar. This is what Spurgeon has to say of this psalm from his commentary on the psalm from the Treasury of David. He says, "The present psalm is a kind of coronation hymn, officially proclaiming the conquering Messiah as monarch over the nations, with blasts of trumpets, clapping of hands, and celebration of triumph." And we'll talk about that a little bit when we get to the meditation part, how this is definitely a messianic psalm that looks forward to the millennial kingdom. Okay, in verse 4, a joyful noise. We've seen this before, but this song, it doesn't necessarily mean a singing voice. Okay, a lot of times we often say, well, I can't sing, but I can make a joyful noise, which is true. We all can make a joyful noise because it literally means to shout. Okay, it means to split the ear. So it's a very loud shout. Okay, so shout joyfully to the Lord is a literal translation. Okay, and I put some illustrations down there, and the middle things, somebody said that looked like a plunger, but it's not a plunger. Okay, but you can see what a biblical harp looked like. Don't think an Irish harp, don't think a big concert harp, but But the harps in these days were smaller, kind of about this big, held here and plucked. Okay, so kind of guitar-ish without frets and things like that. Okay, trumpets. Okay. In those days, again, don't think a trumpet like Isaiah plays, okay, with vowels, but a trumpet simply was a long metal thing with a mouthpiece and a kind of a bell at the end, okay? And then what's called the cornet here, the Hebrew word behind it is actually shofar, okay? And a shofar is a ram's horn that's hollowed out. And have any of you ever heard somebody blow a shofar? It's a very haunting sound. But that's what, so that's the instruments here that, you know, trumpets and shofars and harps. So you get an idea. Look them up on YouTube and you can see, you know, people, you'd have, when you type in harp, make sure you write something like David's harp or biblical harp. And the shofar is very interesting. So, anyway, so I think, where was I the other day? Anna May, do you have a shofar at your house on your bookshelf? Yeah, I thought I saw one on your, you know, so. Sure, you know how to play it?
No.
Yeah, you have to, it's really hard. I tried once and didn't get much noise out of it, but anyway, so. The outline you see there below that, verses 1 to 3, a new song, verses 4 to 6, the instruments to be used in this new song, and then verses 7 to 9, the reason for the song. So let's meditate on this a little bit, and let's look at verses 1 to 3 here, the first stanza, a new song. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. So what we see here is a call to praise and worship. Okay, and singing a new song because of God's marvelous works. And obviously, he's gotten him some kind of a victory here, okay? And his right hand, his holy arm, it's almost like he's rolled up his sleeves to get this victory. He has gotten the victory and salvation for his people Israel, which has been seen by all the earth. When do you think this will be seen? When all the earth will see this victory. When do you think that will be? Second coming, okay? Not so much the rapture, but his second coming, when he comes to set up his kingdom. And Revelation 19 talks about that second coming, and Revelation 20, of course, the millennial kingdom. Not a whole lot of detail is given in Revelation 20 about the kingdom, with the exception of, we know it's 1,000 years, you know, we know that. But the details for the millennial kingdom are all filled in the Old Testament, okay? Much of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the minor prophets, tell us about the millennial kingdom. But there's coming a day. Of course, the Lord has gotten a great victory for us already in when he purchased our salvation, when he won the victory over sin and death on Calvary, and he rose from the dead and ascended back into heaven. But there's coming more victories in the future when he comes back. Okay, and for this, all the world will see this, and all the world will know. They'll look on him whom they have pierced, the Bible says. Okay, so here's the call to praise and worship God for these wonderful victories that he has gotten. The second stanza, the instruments to be used. Notice verses 4 to 6. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And we've already seen what that means. It means to shout, okay? So shout joyfully unto the Lord. all the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and a sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Okay, so we see here that there are many kinds of instruments to be used, and no one kind is sufficient to do the job adequately. And then we also see that there are vocalists there who are contributing and sharing in this praise. And I couldn't help but think of our little orchestra. We have a whole bunch of instruments in our, you know, we have a piano, we have an organ, we have guitars, and we have violins and trumpets and melodicas and you know, all kinds of other instruments. And if you have an instrument and you're good at it, why don't you join our orchestra? You know, but you know, we use these instruments, why? To praise the Lord and to worship Him. And I know that in some churches, and stop beating that baby there. I know that's a joyful noise. There you go. Maybe not so joyful, but it's a. What was I going to say? Oh, and you know, there was a time that churches actually debated if instruments should be used in a church. You know, and if you go back very simply and study the book of Psalms, which was Israel's what? Hymn book. They're even told in the hymn book that some of these songs should have instruments. So that solves that problem, okay? And of course, I believe there are some instruments that should not be used to worship God, but it's not off limits. So the object of their praise and worship is their King, and of course their King is Jehovah, okay? And we're thankful for that. So then we have the last stanza, the third and final stanza, the reason for this song. So there's the call, there's the instruments to be used. Now listen for the reason why they're called together to worship. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. And here's why. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Okay? So the sea and its fullness, and it's interesting here. Let the sea roar. You first get the impression when you hear that it has the idea of the sound that the sea makes. And the sea does make a sound, but this has the idea of the churning of the sea, like when the waves are coming in and whatnot. You know, if you go down to the Pensacola area in the Gulf, you don't see too much of that unless there's a storm. But I grew up in New Jersey, not too far from the shore. Okay, that's how you can tell you're from New Jersey. We call it the shore, not the beach or the ocean. Okay, and you know, sometimes you go to the Atlantic Ocean and there's, you know, the waves are really pounding. And I understand it's even greater if you go to the North Pacific North. I've not been there, but you know, but get the idea of like waves when they're really coming in, and so let the sea roar. And its fullness, and all that dwell in the world, the floods are to clap their hands, and the hills are all to join in this glad chorus to Jehovah. And you know, it also reminds me, if you will, of what Paul says, and how even nature, how, you know, even creation is groaning creation is even waiting for its redemption, okay? Because when the Lord comes back to set up his kingdom, the curse will be lifted, okay? And, you know, so much of our world, and I've said this many times, even where we live is so beautiful. Today I took a ride. I had to go to Dartmouth Hospital, and I went a different way. A lot of times I'll go down through Franklin and 11 to 89, but I went Route 4 this the whole time, and it's it well, with all the frost heaves, it jarred all my fillings out. But beside that, it was a beautiful ride. It's beautiful out there, you know, and with all the nice white snow cover and everything, it's just beautiful. And I don't know what mountain it was, but when I was coming back, I could see off in the distance when I was coming back east a high mountain, and it was just beautiful. I don't know if it was Cardigan Mountain or what it was, but it was beautiful. And this is the cursed earth. What will it be like when the curse is lifted? And so why are they called upon to worship the Lord? For he is coming to judge the earth and his people with righteousness and equity, okay? Righteousness and equity, equality, okay? So he will be a righteous judge. And think about our world and think about, you know, the need for reform and whatnot in even our courts. When the Lord comes, he'll be a righteous judge. So the coming of the Messiah to judge the world was even then the blessed hope of the believer. Because why are they singing this song? Because it says in verse 9, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Now, I'm so thankful that when I stand before the Lord, and I know you're thankful for this as well, when you stand before the Lord, we will stand before him clothed in his righteousness, okay? So we have a standing, not a standing of our own, but Paul says, what does he still say? It's a fearful thing, you know, but thank God for Christ's righteousness. He has paid for our sin. We will never have to pay sin's debt. But Jesus has paid it all, but we still need to stand before him. And of course, the second coming, the blessed hope, when the Lord will come and rule and reign. So this is a precious psalm,